Welcome to our first Thursday meditation, World Peace Meditation, Thursday, October 3rd, 2024. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and welcome to our world here, an opportunity that we started a few years ago. We have the third Thursday we've had since 2011, gathering to discuss the issues facing our world in the vegan movement, which has been a wonderful thing. Gosh, think of that. It's 13 years. But I think since 2021, we started the first Thursday to connect more deeply with the spiritual dimension. So this is just 1 hour long maximum until 6 o'clock, from 5 to 6 p.m. here in California time. And we start out with a meditation, which we can do. This is the second to last time we'll be able to do that, because we'll be going on the road in November on a 5-month lecture tour, so I won't have access to this wonderful grand piano right here. But we can do it. We can use it while we're here. So I'll be playing a little bit along with the meditation at the beginning here, and then we'll just open it up for any questions or comments or concerns that you have you'd like to discuss. But the main idea is to create a healing, vibratory energy for our planet, and understanding really that there's more to this world than just the material level. We're raised in a society where we're taught to ignore anything that you cannot measure with some kind of scientific instrument. And so that's a huge delusion and has brought us right to the brink of complete disaster. And so fortunately, people are realizing there's far more to us as human beings than merely a physical body. And our thoughts actually have a reality, and they go forth and affect other human beings and all of us. We're interconnected. This has been understood for thousands of years by spiritual practitioners. So our thoughts not only affect ourselves, obviously very deeply, and our feelings and our lives and our health, but they affect the health of our society and of other people. And I think that's where the real contagion is. You know, everybody's talking about being contagious, like you're going to make somebody else sick. And I don't think it works on that level physically too much. It really works, though, on the mental level and emotional level. So cultivating positive emotions, thoughts, and feelings, and reconnecting with our true nature are one of the greatest gifts we can give, not only to ourselves and our loved ones, but to the whole planet and future generations. So thank you all for joining us and for participating in this. And so I'll go ahead and get started, and we'll just do a short meditation together. I'll be speaking and just accompanying myself with the piano, and then we'll take it from there afterwards. All right, here we go. Breathing together, with every exhalation, allowing ourselves to relax, into this present moment, letting go of any distractions, any thoughts of the past or the future, and allowing ourselves to enter ever more deeply into the heart of this present moment, the only holy moment. Is right now. So we give thanks for this precious opportunity to join together in our shared aspiration for awakening. for healing and for being an instrument of loving kindness, compassion, joy and peace, harmony and freedom, abundance, forgiveness on this beautiful earth. As part of this beautiful creation, as a member of the beautiful human race, while we are here, understanding that what we are was never born and will never die. We are a manifestation in the physical body of our true nature, infinite and eternal consciousness that is of the nature of wisdom and compassion and creativity, freedom, loving kindness, joy and peace, and that all living beings are manifestations of one life, waves on the same ocean, so we open our hearts now to the feeling of gratitude and giving thanks for this precious opportunity of this lifetime that we have to learn and grow through all of the challenges. There are always lessons, always opportunities. For healing, for awakening, and for sharing, for blessing others, as we cultivate the yearning in our heart that every day be a fulfillment, contributing to our continual progress in awakening and more fully understanding what we are, more fully allowing the release of the hidden splendor of our true being. So we give thanks for all of our brothers and sisters working for peace, working for respect and kindness for all living beings. And we give thanks for the whole creation, the beauty that surrounds us whenever we behold the created world. We give thanks for all of the animals, magnificent, amazing treasures. Of beauty and wisdom, creativity. We give thanks for the infinite web of life, all the ecosystems that make up this earth, all of the planets and solar systems, and the vast universe. All of the worlds and dimensions beyond the physical. All the beings that we can see and those we cannot see. And we relax into the truth that we are on this earth for really is a very brief time. Every day is precious, just like this moment right now, to savor all of the potentials all of the connections all of the ways that we can contribute by being a force of divine love. And we send our love especially and our compassion to those now who are, we know, are experiencing extreme difficulty, especially the people in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. Blessing all of them and all the people who are working to bring them comfort. And all the people in the war zones of the world, the appearances opportunities for each one of us to send forth our love as we are called. And so now we connect more deeply with the love in our heart. With every inhalation, engendering this feeling of loving kindness. A feeling of benevolence, goodwill, and with every exhalation, we allow this feeling of loving kindness to radiate from our heart in every direction, in ever expanding spheres of light. And we send our love to all living beings without any exception. Even to those who may be difficult for us, we see beyond the form to the source, breathing and radiating love to all living beings to ourself, also the unique and beautiful being that we are, abiding in our true home of love. And seeing the whole earth bathed in the light of love and benevolence and goodwill, seeing that fulfilled between all living beings. With every inhalation we engender in our heart, the feeling of compassion, the yearning that others be free from suffering, and all the causes of suffering, and with every exhalation radiating compassion in all directions, breathing and radiating compassion, abiding in our true home of compassion for all living beings. May all beings be happy and free of suffering. And now with every inhalation we engender in our heart the feeling of joy, the great joy that needs no reasons, the joy of being. And with every exhalation we allow this feeling of joy to overflow from our heart and flow out from us into the world. We visualize and feel that now, the joy that is our true nature, radiating from our being, filling the whole world with the truth of the infinite joy of being. Breathing and radiating joy. Abiding in our true home of joy. And finally now we allow our awareness to go deeper and connect with the great peace. That is always at the core of our being. We are always at peace, no matter what may be happening in the outer world. We are always in harmony with the source of our life, the infinite and eternal light. That is the source of all life. So with every exhalation we radiate peace, filling the whole world with the light of peace, with the truth, infinite and eternal peace. Abiding in our true nature, abiding in peace, the unshakable peace of understanding the truth of our own nature and the nature of all beings. Breathing and radiating love for all beings. Breathing and radiating compassion. Breathing and radiating joy. Breathing and radiating peace. And so we give thanks for all those who have gone before us to light the candles that we now hold and that we pass on to others. The light of compassion, freedom, and peace. Giving thanks, knowing that every day we grow in wisdom and understanding and effectiveness in this lifetime, and that we are part of the awakening of humanity in this birthing time that we're in for the benefit of all beings. Of the past, present, and future. And we give thanks knowing this is so, and so it is. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate your joining us.
Thank you. That was beautiful.
Thank you. Those of you who came in a little late, welcome to our meditation. I'm delighted to see you all here. And so, as you know, this is the first Thursday, so we focus mainly on the spiritual dimension of things. And this is also an opportunity, if you have any concerns, comments, cares, or anything like that you'd like to share with our community, feel free to do that. It's definitely an open forum. I haven't read out of the Dhammapada in a long time, so I might do that if we have time. But otherwise, just feel free to either press star 6 on your phone if you are on the phone, or raise your hand down where it says something. What does it say? It says react. You can raise your hand or unmute yourself. You can also do that. All right. So welcome, everyone. I know some of you are here all the way from Europe or from England. So bless you for staying up late, and some of all the way to Susan in Hawaii over there. So we got a lot of time zones represented. Our yoga event we did a couple of weeks ago, we had people all the way from India, all the way to Israel and England and all over the United States and Hawaii, presenters, and we managed somehow, and it went really, really well. And I think that's one of the things that is very gratifying to me, is to see how veganism and spirituality are beginning to be understood more clearly as two aspects of the same thing, that our compassion for animals is very practical, and but it's rooted in the understanding that there is one life living through all of us, and if we harm others, we're really just harming ourselves. If we exploit others, we're exploiting ourselves, and it always boomerangs back in all kinds of ways, and we don't seem to recognize that in our society too well. But I think people are awakening, and we're seeing it all around us, although the challenges, of course, that we understand from the materialism of our society that's based on animal agriculture often makes it difficult for us to free ourselves from not only eating animal foods, but even if we free ourselves from eating animal foods, there are so many other deceptions that can capture our awareness and force us really in many ways into more suffering for ourselves and others. So it's quite a journey we're on right now, I think, planet Earth, through the many different levels of deception. The main one, I think, being that we need to imprison animals to get protein and calcium and all these things. Once we see through that one and we realize that we can thrive and celebrate our lives without imprisoning animals and causing our brothers and sister human beings to stab them or harm them or to take away their food from them because we're eating animal foods, which take so much more land and food to create, then we begin to be part of the healing on the outer level. And that's just the beginning. That's the important thing, I think, to realize that's really just the beginning. That's like the first baby step on a much bigger journey of awakening. And so that's why I think it's so great we can come together like this on our first Thursday and remind ourselves, and I always love to be reminded myself, that our main obligation, I think, really on this planet is to our own spiritual awakening. You know, that's the most important thing. And when that is happening, and that really takes, I think, essentially our own fuel, the fuel of our desire, of our yearning to awaken. No one else can give that to anybody else or do it for anybody else. And the very last words, I think, of the Buddha were, he said, be a lamp unto yourselves. And then he said, work out your own salvation. And it's the idea that it's really our efforts that bring us, bring the fruits of awakening. And the great spiritual teachers, I think, of all the traditions have emphasized that. Jesus, of course, emphasized that enormously, that each one of us can, he says, you are gods. You know, each one of us has that divine potential. And it's up to us to do the work, the inner work, to unfold that. And veganism is a main part of it, but there's so much more to it. So, and I guess I mentioned it briefly in the meditation, but I really am so grateful to see that a lot of people are responding, for example, to what's happening in North Carolina, Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida, to bring food and water and shelter and so forth to people who have lost all that. That's really the spirit of kindness and compassion in action. And lots of different groups are working. There's the Cajun Navy. Have you heard about the Cajun Navy? They were people who, back in Hurricane Katrina happened and caused so much destruction in New Orleans. And just as the case is now, the case right now is that the U.S. government is not responding. It's not helping. It's prohibiting people from going in and delivering food and water and shelter. And the same thing happened with Katrina. The U.S. government didn't help. And so people were in a terrible shape in New Orleans after that that situation with Hurricane Katrina. A lot of people were stranded in their homes. They didn't have water, food, electricity, didn't have anything. And so the Cajun Navy was born. People would just get in their boats or their rafts or their canoes or kayaks or whatever they could get in, and they brought food and water, paddled around and brought it to people, and it was a grassroots initiative to just help. It's in our bones to help each other. That's the enlightened consciousness. And so the Cajun Navy has been resurrected in this after Hurricane Helene, and it's spread just from Louisiana people. The people from the whole all over the area, the whole Southeast, are bringing not only boats but also donkeys and also helicopters. A whole huge helicopter brigade. A lot of people have private helicopters. They're bringing in food and shelter and water and so forth. And Elon Musk, even, bless his heart, Elon Musk said that Starlink is free to everybody. Even if you don't pay your bill, doesn't matter. You get internet. Everybody in all those states. So there's a lot of I think really beautiful things that are that we can be inspired by the fact that we have it in our nature to have empathy for each other and for all beings, and to help each other, because we know what it is to suffer ourselves, and how wonderful it is if someone will help us if we're in a difficult situation. And when we do that, we just create a field of healing that is so helpful. And I think, well, this is what the whole vegan movement has been about from the very beginning. It's part of a much larger movement. But in many ways, it's one of the hardest things, because it's not that difficult in many ways to feel compassion and kindness for others of the same species. But to allow that to flow to others of different species, well, they're just fish. They're just cows and pigs. You know, they're not like us. Well, that's once we see the spiritual eye is open and we see there's a being in there. And I think dogs and cats have somewhat helped in that. You know, we have we know there's a being there. And so this evolution of human compassion, this ripening, I think there's nothing more important than that. And to just keep encouraging that. And it's been great to see that this whole brigades of people not only helping the human beings that are suffering, for example, in this in the aftermath of the devastating hurricane, but there's a lot of people saving the animals, the cows and horses and dogs and cats, and lots of other animals are having a really hard time. The roads have been washed out, and there's no electricity, and there's just a lot of really apparently it's a gigantic catastrophe that will take many, many months or years to remedy. So it's important to understand this. And I guess what we're learning also is that we cannot depend on the government for assistance in these things, which I think is a good thing to understand. It's a good learning, actually, that we really are each other's helpers. More, the government, in many ways, has become the opposite of our helper. And so I think when we understand that, that brings greater wisdom to our into our lives and more self-reliance. Self-reliance, I think, is one of the most important qualities to cultivate. I think without self-reliance, we really have a hard time making much progress. We look to others to help us, or others to the authorities. They must know what to do. And then we just have to get over that and realize we are responsible for our lives and responsible for helping others as best we can. The more we do that, that's what's going to matter. When we leave our body and this lifetime is over, and that happens very quickly, that's what's going to matter, is how did we spend our time, and to what degree were we being a blessing in the world to other living beings? And I'm so grateful to all of you, because you're all beautiful examples of the infinite variety of ways that we can creatively find our own unique way to be giving. So, and one of the things I really wanted to just mention, because it's October 3rd. So, for those of you who are in the World Peace Diet, most of you are, I think, but not all, maybe not everybody, circle. You've gone through the training and so forth. We have our third Thursday on the fourth Thursday of this month. It's the fourth Thursday, so don't come on the third. We're not going to be there. So please make a note of that. It's very unusual. This hasn't happened in years, but I explained it last time. We're leaving on the 11th on a lecture tour, heading up to the Pacific Northwest, and so for our first stop is Mount Shasta. and then up in Eugene, and then Florence, Oregon, and then up in Vancouver, Washington, which is basically Portland, and then up to Squim, Washington, up on the coast, and then Victoria, British Columbia, and then coming down, back down to Seattle area, Bremerton, and then Thursday, a week, which is the third Thursday, we'll be in Brighton Bush, Hot Springs, and I, as I explained it last time, I thought for sure we could do the event, because we do have an event there, but it's later in the evening, but I found out there's literally no internet connection available. It's way out in the middle of nowhere. There's no phone connection. There's no anything. There's nothing. It's just out in the mountains. So, and it's, even if you go to the closest town, which is like a half an hour away, they don't have a Wi-Fi there either. So it's really, really out in the boonies. But anyway, so we're going to have to do it the fourth, and there's five, actually five, there's five Thursdays in October, which is good. And so anyway, and then we'll, just to finish up the story, so then we'll be going to Roseburg, doing some events there, and then down to Ashland, Oregon. Yeah, it's the last event. And also to let you know that after that, a few weeks later, we're going to be leaving on our five-month lecture tour. So if you, hopefully we'll see some of you, maybe. We'll be starting out in going south through Sacramento and Las Vegas and Sedona area, and then out and across maybe Albuquerque, Santa Fe area, Oklahoma City, and then probably, and then actually down to Tyler, Texas, which is in northern Texas, the university there. They want me to give a talk to the students. And so we'll be going there, and then up through Tennessee, probably Nashville, and to Chattanooga, and then down through Atlanta, and then into Florida. And we'll be in Florida, and Hippocrates Health Institute will be there again for a couple of months. So if anyone wants to join us, we'll be there from Christmas until, Lisa, I will see you there. That's great. Until Valentine's Day. And then we'll start our way back, and we have a tour going through Texas, Arizona, and so forth. And also, just to let you know, the Food for Freedom, that book that I wrote, it's been doing very well. It's a pretty controversial book in some ways. I really emphasize the importance of questioning all the official narratives, including the pharmaceutical narratives, the climate change narrative, the overpopulation narrative, you know, all these narratives that I think are really devastating and part of the effort to turn humanity into livestock. But I said in that book that there's a companion book called The World Peace Way that will be available, which is a practical book on how to just live our lives in harmony. So it's totally non-controversial. It's just it's called The Six Keys to Health and Harmony for All. And the six keys are diet, which is the old Greek word for diet. The root dieta means way of life. So it's what we're eating, drinking, breathing, reading, consuming, everything that we consume, spreading on our skin. So that's one, the diet. Two is meditation and spiritual practice. Three is relationship. Four is exercise and movement. Five is our connection with nature, and six is creativity. And these six keys are, I think, the foundation for health in the big picture, health, spiritual health, psychological health, cultural health. And so it's just a book of all the things that I've, not all, but a lot of the things that I've gathered over the many decades of being in this work, being a Zen monk and doing all these studies and all these different things. So that book is now released, basically. It's on Amazon. If you go to Amazon and put in The World Peace Way, it will come up as a print book. I'm still actually waiting for the people who are putting together the Kindle edition. So that should be tomorrow, I think. But the print book you can order if you'd like, the paperback. And it's a smaller book. It's only about 190 pages. And it's $15, we're asking, is the suggested price. And I think you'll love it. It's got a lot of good, you know, stories and teachings to thrive as vegans or as human beings on this earth. And I'm hoping that it gets out there to a lot of people, because I think it can really help people. And John Robbins was good enough to write an endorsement for it, and a few other people have as well. So anyway, so that's my big news for the day. I just finally have been working on getting this thing done, and it's up. It's out through Amazon, and it's out also through Ingram, the other big distributor, Ingram, which goes to all the bookstores around the world, you know, all over the world. You can get it from through Ingram, and Amazon has worldwide distribution too. But anyway, so it's out there. So that's the World Peace Way, and this has been a dream we've had for years that we would write not only the World Peace Diet, but a book that would be practical. It would give people practical tips on how to actually live your life in alignment with the values that are in Food for Freedom and in the World Peace Diet. Yeah, so anyway, so that's it. So thanks, everyone, for, the contributions that you're making to the movement. And let me know if you have, does anyone have anything they would like to share or add or question? If not, we have a few minutes. I might read a little bit in the Dhammapada, which I think is always great to dive into. But I'm open to any comments or questions anyone has on the spiritual things. Kenny, you're raising your hand. Go ahead.
I'm pet sitting for three dogs. This little dog is so cute.
Okay. Oh, good. Good for you.
Beautiful house in Santa Rosa. But coming from a Jewish background, it is today is Rosh Hashanah. And I actually, you know, one of my spiritual teachers for a number of years was Gabriel Cousins.
Great.
And he also studied when I was 21 on Mount Zion in Jerusalem at a yeshiva. So I just want to say Happy New Year, L'Shana Tova, and it's, you know, it's a special thing. And I'm also, you know, feeling like a lot of people who have Jewish background, maybe more so than others, feeling the certain pain about, you know, what's happening in Israel. You don't have to talk about it, but I just want to mention that. And prayer for all beings to be happy and free from suffering. But yeah, I'm a little more sensitive about that. And,
right, I understand. Thank you. Thanks, Kenny. Thanks for reminding us about Rosh Hashanah and
Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah. And and we send our prayers.
10 days of repentance. It's called, from now to Yom Kippur, they're called the 10 days of repentance.
Right.
So I'm going to go to synagogue tomorrow and, you know, he asks God to forgive us. I know that's a universal forgiveness, right, and gratitude are two universal, I think, spiritual principles. And yeah, I've been part of religious science for a long time, too. So that's part of the teaching. Just thought I'd mention that.
Excellent. That's so good. Yeah. We can always ask for forgiveness, apologize for our mistakes. And like you say, that's a core teaching in all the world religions. Yeah. And we really honor that. And it's so important to allow our ego to, my old Zen teacher said, to lower the flag of the ego and to connect with this sense that we can always do better. You know, we can always do better, and that's so important to remember. So thank you, Kenny, for that.
Shalom, Shanti.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else have something? Anne, yeah, go right ahead.
Thanks, Will. I am just like very touched and upset by all that's happened with the hurricane, which I believe is a weather weapon.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And particularly in Asheville, I wish I had visited. I've never been there and I don't know anyone there. And it's just very sad to know it's looks like it's destroyed. And I just wonder, do you know people there? Do you know if they're okay?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've been there many times. I love Asheville. I've given so many lectures there over the years. We were thinking of moving there at one point. You know, we lived in the RV. We were looking at all different places. And so I spent a whole summer right in the Asheville area when Madeline was in Switzerland for, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, maybe 5 weeks. And it's beautiful, and there's a lot of water, a lot of rivers, a lot of streams and rivers everywhere. And apparently, they have just there was so much rain that everything got washed out, bridges and roads and whole towns and around there. There's beautiful places, Chimney Rock and gorgeous mountains, and whole hillsides have collapsed and crushed. And you know, some people have been killed, but a lot of people are just, of course, without electricity and without food and maybe potable water. So we have pretty good friends that I haven't heard. I don't know how they're doing. We have other friends that I've sent them messages, texts, and emails, and they just haven't heard anything back at all. You know, just no response. So I think they don't have communication capability, perhaps, at this point. And so I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard back from them. The people that I have contacted that we know there, and it's a tragedy, especially like you say, if it was deliberate. So we have to send our love to them for sure. And I'm so glad to hear that there are a lot of people really working hard to help the people there. You know, that's very encouraging, and it's infuriating to see the government blocking. That seems to be happening a lot. You know, it happened in Lahaina. It's happened all over the place. They just won't let anybody help. It's almost like people say, well, don't worry about the government of Russia. Don't worry about the government of China. You better worry about the government of the United States. That's your real enemy. And it's like hard to believe. Are you kidding me? But it's not really the government, but it's the forces within that have taken over the government, I think, unfortunately. So, but you know, this is nothing new. This has been happening for thousands of years. We've had these situations of some people trying to dominate and exploit other people through power and wealth, and we have to stop turning animals into livestock. I mean, we have to cut it at the root, I think, essentially. But unfortunately, the ecosystems and animals bear the brunt of a lot of the violence that we are engaged in. So, and our technology is so powerful now too. You know, that's the thing. We have the power. Since the 1940s, they've been really working on it to manipulate weather, and so they've gotten pretty good at manipulating weather, I think, and moving storms around, generating storms, and having them go in certain directions. It's a weapon. So we have departments in our government that develop weapons and use them.
Yep.
And so that's the thing.
Hey, Will. Hey, yeah. Will. It's Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hi. I was just having this idea, you know, about how the opposition, so to speak, complain when we're eating plants. Anyway, I think that the plants are suffering in this. Maybe the plants, we have to include the plants as suffering in this. Maybe this is silly. Suffering in Asheville too. I mean, this whole destruction is just so sad.
Yeah,
right.
I know a lot of course, trees are down. I mean, ecosystems in general. I would say there's a lot of truth to that, actually, probably. I mean, there's a lot.
I don't know more.
Like when I was in the Tibetan Buddhist Center, the Lama there. I mean, you would never have a meal without offering some of the food afterwards to the local deities, you know, the local spirits, the nature spirits. And he said, yeah, I'm getting to know the local deities here. I knew what they were like in Tibet, but I'm trying to figure out what they're like in the United States. And,
well,
you know, but I mean, there's so much more than we're probably aware of, actually. And
yeah.
So the more make our lives in harmony with the earth and with nature, and that really comes down to reducing our environmental footprint, and you know, eating a whole organic plant-based diet, and then everything else we talk about, just meditating.
Thanks for the help with that connection. Thanks a lot.
Right, you're welcome, Susan. Enjoy. All right. Well, let's see. We got a few minutes. Is anyone else doesn't have anything? I'm happy. I've been looking forward to reading a little bit out of the Dhammapada here, just to kind of Maybe it's relevant. We'll see. This is chapter. Oh, look at this. That's interesting. Is this the right one? Yeah. Chapter 17. Chapter 17 is they're all very short, but I won't do the whole chapter. I'll do half of it. The title of chapter 17 is anger. Give up anger. Give up conceit. Pass beyond every fetter. There is no suffering for one who possesses nothing, who does not cling to body and mind. The one who keeps anger in check as it arises, as one would a careening chariot, I call a charioteer. Others are merely rein holders. Conquer anger with non-anger. Conquer wickedness with goodness. Conquer stinginess with giving. And a liar with truth. Let's get this thing here. If one speaks the truth, is not angry, and gives when asked, even when one has little, then one comes into the presence of the gods. Sages who do no harm, constantly restrained in body, go to the immovable state where they do not grieve. For the ever wakeful, training day and night, intent on nirvana, the toxins disappear. Ancient is the saying, O Atula, it is not just of today. They find fault in one sitting silently. They find fault in one speaking much. They find fault in one speaking moderately. No one in this world is not found at fault. No person can be found who has been, is, or will be only criticized or only praised. Maybe I'll just stop there. There's a little bit more to this one, but I think there's so much in that, and it's getting kind of late. The underlying idea here is, I think, really important. You know, we have this tendency to think that we have a right to be angry, or we have, you know, this self-righteous kind of idea that we can. But really, I think what's being pointed at here is to see that anger always is harmful to ourselves and eventually to others. And when we don't have anything to lose, that idea of clinging, when we have lots of attachments to the way we think the world should be and how we think others should be, when they're not, then we very often feel afraid, and the fear leads to anger, or we feel like we're going to lose something, and that brings fear. So it all comes back, I think, what he's saying here, to being willing to give up our attachment to our emotions and to our possessions, whatever that is, and live as beings who are giving, who are here to help others. See if there's anything else here. Going to the immovable state where they do not grieve. That immovable state is referring to a state of consciousness, obviously, where the mind is not affected by the eight winds. We're referred to as the eight winds: praise and blame, gain and loss, fame and infamy, pain and pleasure. Those eight things, we're always trying to get one and keep away the other. And that's really what gives rise very often to these, what are called the conflicted emotions: anger, jealousy, fear, greed, and so forth. So in a way, there's nothing wrong with these emotions. It's just that they lead to suffering. They create more suffering. They usually lead to us acting in ways that hurt other people through our words or our actions or even our thoughts. And so that's one of the reasons I think that this practice that we did earlier at the beginning is called the four viharas: love, compassion, joy, and peace. Maybe I do that every time, you know, because I think, you know, that is a practice that goes back thousands and thousands of years. Millions of people have been practicing that. So it has a whole force field of energy that we can tap into. And we can be practicing connecting with the feeling and the reality, really, of loving kindness all the time. When we're driving, when we're walking, when we're talking, we can be just feeling a sense of love for others and compassion and joy and peace. We can do that when we're standing in the line. We can cultivate that. And the beauty is that when we do that, it actually changes the chemistry, in a sense, of our neurobiology, of our brain and of our consciousness. And so when somebody does something that would normally trigger us and make us feel angry, we might laugh instead, right? We might say, oh, you know, that's kind of funny. Or we might have a sense of compassion because the person is having a difficult time. Or we might enjoy whatever it is. So the idea is that there's nothing inherent in any stimulus that comes in that dictates that it has to make us act in a certain way, that we have to be sad or we have to be angry. It's really our conditioning. Always. It's always our conditioning. And maybe we're in a society where everybody's conditioned to always feel the same way when something happens. But that doesn't mean that we, as essentially eternal beings, need to be slaves to conditioning. That's really what we're talking about, ultimately, is freedom. Freedom from not only outer authorities, but freedom from the inner delusion that makes us think that what we are is a fundamentally separate self, and that as a separate self we have to get what we want and compete with others and so forth. That delusion, no matter how subtle it gets, will always create conflict and unhappiness for us. And so the spiritual path is really about awakening out of the delusion of being this fundamentally separate self, this thing, this object that was born and will die. And when that happens, like he's pointing out here, I think, in the Dhammapada, then we get free, real freedom, freedom from anger. I mean, anger, if we could see what anger does on a sort of a hormonal level and how it causes contractions and causes toxic chemicals to flow in our body, and if we could see what joy and gratitude and loving kindness do in our body, for example, and how it radiates out. You know, some of you may have studied some of this too, but there are clairvoyants who have put together whole books of thought forms. And it's really interesting to see, for example, the thought form of anger or the thought form of love or the thought form of devotion or the thought form of gratitude. It's kind of like Masaru, the guy who did the experiments with water.
Yeah.
And when you send loving thoughts to the water, it makes these beautiful crystals when he does the quick freezing. And if you're sending anger or hatred to the water makes these really ugly looking crystals.
That's Dr. Emoto.
Emoto, right. These clairvoyants see the same thing in the astral, mental and causal levels. When someone is sending out love and devotion, or if someone's sending out jealousy or anger, it's like they can even be like arrows and stabbing. You can actually stab people with anger. If you're angry at them, you're really harming them. It's not good karma, you know. Really, I mean, it's all of that pooling. When you have millions and millions of people who are frustrated and upset, then you have war. I mean, you know, that creates the foundation for these things to play out on a bigger scale. So if we want to change the outer world in the big picture on every level, it kind of really comes back to the four viharas, you know, cultivating love, compassion, joy, and peace, radiating that, making ourselves established in that. That word that he used, I really love that, going to the immovable state, if we could immovably be resting in love, compassion, joy, and peace, for example, you know, that idea that we are not separate from the infinite love that is the source of all life, that is the source of all life, then we are blessing others. And even if we're not acting and doing a whole lot in the outer world, we're just sending forth from our heart a blessing into the world that is perhaps more effective than a lot of people who are running around trying to do things to help that maybe have mixed motives for what they're doing. So the most important thing is to do the best we can to help, both on the physical level and on the spiritual level. I think I've gone over the time here. So I want to thank all of you for the efforts you're making, and a reminder again that we're not going to be meeting on the 3rd, but on the 4th Thursday of October. And please go to our website if you're at all curious about our upcoming tour schedule. We're always changing it and updating it and adding new menus or whatever, changing them if necessary. So you can just go to our website, worldpeacediet.com, and click on upcoming events. And we have some more videos, Madeline's intuitive cooking and our music. And we have some other things coming, too, and the new book is coming out as well. So we love you. And let's go ahead and unmute our phones or our computers and say our prayer that we love to join together in. Which is the prayer that we have for the circle of compassion. It begins with the words compassion in circles. So let's say that together. Here we go.
Compassion circle, being all beings everywhere.
Great. Again.
Compassion, circle, everywhere.
Go forth and multiply the message. We love you. Bless you
all.
We
love you too. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye.